Today's scripture reading is Judges 16, 23 through 30. The Philistine rulers held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god, Dagon. They said, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy, Samson." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power." Half drunk by now, the people demanded, "Bring out Samson so he can amuse us." So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, "Place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them." Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again. O God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes." Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, "Let me die with the Philistines." And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. The word of God for the people of God.
Yeah, that just encourages so much, right? Yeah. Hear about death and destruction. But there are some things, this series, the Avengers of the Bible, and some of what I like about it is that we get to see that there have been real superheroes. In the Bible, when we look at what superheroes have done, there are examples of people who have done things in the Bible. Well, I don't want to steal anyone else's thunder from their next week Kelly's preaching on thunder, right? So yeah, there'll be some thunder. Anyway, I want to contend that we still need them today. It may take on a different fashion, especially I think New Testament Christianity, often the way superheroes work in the world is often different than how they worked back pre-Christ, I contend that we still need them today. Thing is, the superheroes tend to show up when situations seem out of control, when there seems to be no natural way to fix the problem. We have someone with supernatural abilities that comes. Do we have any problems like that? I agree. We have a few. I propose that we live in a culture that seems to be running out of control, downhill, away from God. And again, I'm a truck driver, so I imagine the semi-truck going down Cabbage Hill out near Pendleton, the longest, steepest 6% grade in the country, close to 8 miles of just... You lose your brakes. I mean, you could have a semi easily. You'd never make it because you'd roll over in a curve, but you would be well over 100 miles an hour, even starting at 20 at the top if you didn't have your brakes. And that's what I imagine our culture is sort of doing that. And again, we may only be partway down or maybe three-quarters of the way down, but still our culture, and the farther we get away, it seems like the farther we run. And we have this battle almost, it seems, with our culture. In the natural, it seems unfixable to me. It really does. I'll just be honest with you. Yeah. It seems unfixable to me. If I were to look in the natural, I wouldn't be right here right now. I'd figure it's a waste of time. But the cool thing is we serve a supernatural God. We serve a God that does do the supernatural. Thing is, Samson and others faced, and some of these other people that we're going to be looking at faced similar situations, and even other people with the Philistines, other characters as Philistines for a section of period in time, they were an antagonist. Would that be the right word? Yeah, antagonist to the Israelites. And the thing is, why is that? Well, there's not a whole lot, actually, to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot of other documents about the Philistines, but just a few things, and I could give more, but one thing is they were a stronger, larger group of people that could force their power upon them. They had better weapons when it came to warfare, and even not only warfare, but making equipment and other stuff. The Jewish people were mostly using bronze, but the Philistines had iron, which was stronger, lasted longer. You could, it's just a much better metal to make equipment and weapons out of. The Jewish, so even when the culture and technology were against them, God let them prevail. And sometimes it was through people that he gave supernatural powers to. I just want to tell you again, even when culture seems against us, we can prevail. We can prevail. So what kind of superhero do we need? What kind of superhero can you be to your community? But also, we want to point out that real heroes need real redemption. Without redemption, it's just not the same. And then we'll give you time to respond to that redemption in many different ways. But for now, I had want to dive in and look at what was so special. Well, I'm comparing, I haven't gotten there, I'm comparing Hulk and Samson. And I think most people know who Hulk is, and I believe most people know who Samson is. But if not, I'll tell you a little more about Samson here in a little bit. But we'll start off with the Hulk. The Hulk, what's his big thing? He's green and angry. What else?
Strong,
fuerte. For anyone who knows Spanish in here. Anyway, strong, very strong. So when he's angry, he changes into an extremely strong green man. The things that make him angry are usually injustices towards himself or others. Sometimes, some of the movies, they've shown one of his teammates, one of them to turn into the Hulk, and so they throw him off a ledge or something, make him turn into a Hulk. But when he's angry, he does it. But it's usually about injustices towards others, towards himself or others. His strength has been portrayed as anywhere from being strong enough to lift a car to even being able to pick up a car and tear it in half. So we're talking about a portrayal of an extremely strong person. Thing is there someone in the Bible that compares to the Hulk? Of course, they didn't have any cars back then to make that comparison. But I think when we run through these scriptures here, a few scriptures here about Samson, we'll see. But first, just in case you don't know who Samson is. Samson, we'll talk a little bit more about just some quick, cool similarities of things. But Samson, he was born. His parents were told that he was going to be special, be a savior to the people. He grew up and was told to take a Nazirite vow, and he ended up finding out that he was strong. And the part of that vow was that he didn't shave his hair. And in the end, long story short, if his hair got cut, he lost his strength. And after many, many times, they finally, through some of his potential failings, find out how they cut his hair and he loses his strength. And they come in and they grab him, and then we see he gets his strength back. The scripture that David read gets his strength back, and crumbles down a temple. That's in a nutshell. But I just want to, just to give a quick overview, just in case you're sitting there going, I don't quite remember who Samson is. If not, you can look at just three chapters, really, I think, and maybe four, but I think 13, 14, 15 in Judges, in the book of Judges. So not that quick, easy read. But I just want to look here at some scriptures. Judges 14:6 says that that moment that Lord powerfully came upon him and he ripped the jaws of a lion with his bare hands. Just ripped him apart. A lion. What's that? That's pretty strong, I'd say. It's pretty strong. I just think of my dog when it doesn't want to, when we put something in its mouth, it can be pretty strong. You think a lion, that's That's something else. 14:19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon and killed 30 men. 15:8 says, so he attacked the Philistines with great fury and killed many of them. And then a little later, it's two separate things. 15:15 says, then he found the jawbone of a donkey and he picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. They had swords. Remember, iron swords. He had a jawbone of a donkey. And that's pretty impressive. Now, iron swords against the jawbone of a donkey, probably iron armor, all types of stuff, and he kills them with the jawbone of a donkey. 16:3 says, then he got up, took hold of the doors of the town gate, including the two posts, and lifted them, bar and all, and he put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. Now, the thing is, I don't know what that was, but now, this is not like our little doorway, like we would think even coming in the church. These were massive. I mean, again, I don't know if we archaeologically know how big this door would have been at that building, but we're talking, this is probably 1,000 pounds or more. Then 16:29, it says, then Samson put his hands, this is what just got read, but on the two center pillars that held the temple, pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, let me die with the Philistines, and the temple crashed down. And again, that time killing more people than his entire life. It's pretty amazing. Build, bring it on. That sounds a little bit like the Hulk, doesn't it? It sounds a little bit about like somebody who could lift up cars and do stuff like that. Thing is, at that point in time, again, the Jewish people were very oppressed, and they needed something. They needed a savior. Needed a savior. And the thing is, there had to be many more things, because he was only a judge for 20 years. And that 20 years happened in between the jawbone of a donkey and basically when he knocked down the... Or no, sorry. In between when he killed 30 Philistines and when he killed 1,000. So 20 years happened between there. And in that time, it was enough of a threat that they had the rulers of every Philistine kingdom met together and plotted to kill him. So he caused some havoc that we often, many things that we much thing, all types of things that we obviously don't read about because, just a couple little incidences. I don't think you have three kings of three different kingdoms, or I think four different kingdoms come together and meet to plot against you. Thing is about the Hulk and Samson, they both used their strength for good. And each of you has strengths that God has given to you. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. A little side note here. This is probably one of the easiest, most easily definable ways that you can be a superhero as a Christian, is to tell people about me everywhere. You want to be a superhero? Spread the gospel. But that's a little side note. I just couldn't pass that up without doing it. But I do want to point out here Strong's. I mean, often, even me, I'll often point out about that's the word, or the root word of dunamis there, which is where we get dynamite and boom, you know, the mighty power that you will receive power. But there's something a little more that I think is interesting, is that actually is literally, it would mean inherent power residing in a thing by its virtue or nature. And speaking of physics, even as we were talking about physics, is a rock. If we had a boulder, you know, this big sitting on top of a mountain, it has power residing in it. Even though, is it doing anything? It's just sitting there. But Mr. Physics, that has power, right? It has energy. Yeah, it has. Okay, use the right physics term there. But it has. Yeah. Anyway, it has this. It's residing in itself. This it has a certain amount of dunamis, and in the same way, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, residing in us. For at those right times, when the power of God needs to move in a mighty way, it's there to boom and have the power of a boulder, 10-ton boulder falling down a mountain. And what that means to me, anyway, that's when lives get changed. That's when addicts get delivered. That's when people who have been broken and gone to counseling all their lives and drugs don't work and everything else, all of a sudden, God comes and does a miracle. There's many, many ways that that happens, but there's so many ways for us to release that dunamis, that power that's just residing in us, just waiting for the right time to release. Just like if I were to hand you a piece of dynamite, it's probably pretty safe, right? Any of you? Yeah? As long as it's not lit. In the same way, I just understanding that we have this power just waiting if we take those opportunities to ignite it, to light it, to begin pushing the boulder down at the right time. We have this dunamis within us. Even with this power, though, we often fall short. We often misuse it or use it recklessly. Just a couple of quick examples that I've seen. Many times you have prophets, God speaks to them about something, but they share at inappropriate times. Share something personal God's shown them about someone, and then they share it in a group setting. Or they use it against them to manipulate people. Or they do it with the wrong intentions. Again, the Bible says that prophecy without love is like a clanging cymbal. They do it with the wrong intentions. Also, we have things like the person with the gift of mercy who begins to enable others to continue in their sin. We have these places where sometimes our gifts, we can misuse them. And so where do these heroes fall short? In the same way. I mean, the Hulk, he can't control his anger. And when he has anger, there's collateral damage. There's buildings tore up. There's, I mean, you want to talk about an infrastructure project. The Hulk goes bad and goes off. There's an infrastructure problem. Probably have to raise taxes every time the Hulk goes on a rampage. Also, he's torn. I think many of us do the same thing. He's torn. What he wants to do is not always what he does. Just more the tension between Bruce Banner and the Hulk. Samson, though, he fell short also. He had his hair or his vow or devotion to God. That there's a few things, if we run through there, that it wasn't just in one way. It wasn't just the hair, but there are several things that we can look at that he did that were against that vow. He had a problem with women. A lot of people show that. He was easily distracted by women. And I think... like the Hulk, it seems like his anger prompted him to use force. Now, does that mean that as we engage our culture here in North Portland that we are going to fail? Because we see these people having failures. Are our weaknesses going to hurt us? Maybe, but I guarantee you we'll be victorious in the end. I've read the end of the book. There's some saying like that. I've read the end of the book. I know how it's going to end. You know, I had a time when I was starting a moving business, and a guy that I had manager where I was working at the time, and he ended up from stress and having heart attacks, so he took this easy job. But one time he was a regional manager for Target, and he was successfully managing like 30 stores. And this is Bill Del Stacius, by the way. I don't know if you knew this, but before he came to Standard, he'd been at Target, and he'd been managing 30 stores, or general manager of 30 stores, And he was personally managing five different stores because they did not have a manager to manage them. And all those stores' numbers kept doing better and better. Amazing guy to try and get some advice with. And I was looking at starting it, and he comes to me, and I just say, hey, so I'm just wondering if you notice any, do I have any faults that you think might hinder me? And he says, yeah. He says, you don't always, you don't look at it as all being important. You often, seems like you prioritize things. And it's all important. And I wanted to argue with him right away. Me prioritizing things is one of my gifts. You put me in a room of chaos, and I know what we need to do. Everyone else wants to focus on these things, seeing this and this. I know this is more important once we get that than this, and all these things are a little important. I wanted to tell him, you're wrong. That's my gift. That is not my downfall. But I figured, he's giving me advice. Let me chew on it. And it became evident to me, very clear, that he was actually right. If I took my gift too far, I'd start to prioritize things and not do the little things that are important. Now, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the right time to use my gift, I should. But when things are normal, I should take care of the little things and not worry about it. And so it was a big revelation to me that sometimes our greatest gifts can be our downfall. And so I don't know. It's just something I don't know that you'll have the answer today. But if you think, what am I really good at? Does that hinder me? Does that hinder me at times if I don't use it right? But we all fall short. And same way with their strengths that the Hulk and Samson had, the Hulk often had communities turn against him because of the destruction he did. And Samson had his own people turn against him. In Judges 15:12, you can see that we have come to tie you up, his own people, and hand you over to the Philistines because they were afraid, because he just killed a bunch of people and they were afraid that they were all going to die. And Samson said, but promise me that you won't kill me yourselves. His own people were willing to kill him. So sometimes our gifts can also lead to problems. We all fall short. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our abilities help us when we rely on God, but hurt us when we don't. Kelly, you remember? Remember who said that? I'm putting you on the test. I'm trying to think who else here. My wife. Anyway. That was our bishop, Matt Thomas, sharing some life lessons as he's retiring from being a bishop. And we're talking, this is a guy, you'll read his life, and it could have been put in the book of Acts. And here's something that he says, our abilities help us when we rely on God, but hurt us when we don't. Yeah, it is. And it's so true. It really is. So I'm not saying, hey, whatever your abilities are bad, but if we don't use them right, they can hurt us. So how does Jesus show us that he is a hero? Because really, ultimately, he's the ultimate hero. Well, sort of come back to that. Cause, I mean, this is related, but it's just an interesting little thing as we look into something interesting is that there's many similarities between Samson and Jesus. They both mothers shouldn't have been able to get pregnant. Both of the fathers had angels come and tell of their coming. Both were predicted to save their people. Both killed lions. Jesus was metaphorical, as in over of defeating Satan. Both were betrayed by someone close to them. And their betrayers were both paid in silver. This almost sounds like a JFK conspiracy thing, you know, all these similarities. Both gave their lives for others. But there is a difference, though. Jesus did a couple of things different. One, he lived a life without sin, so the sacrifice could be for all sin. And also, he died even for those who are against him. Well, when Samson died, he killed a whole bunch of his enemies with him. Jesus died even for his enemies. You want to know how to be a superhero? You look at Jesus. I think one of the best ways to do that is living real redemption, but how I think we can clothe ourselves with redemption or clothe ourselves with Jesus. And real quick here, I just want to run through something we know, we hear a lot, and I see a few people take this angle on it, but I think it's a very valid take on Ephesians 6, the armor of God. I'm just going to read through part of the beginning here. We're talking about being strong, and we're talking about the battle, potentially a battle against our culture. So let's see what it says about battling. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark age, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now here, I just want to run through this armor, and I think it's rather interesting here if we look at it. And what's the common theme? So stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist. What did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Here we have, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. See another similarity here? See Jesus again. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. It is the good news that saves you if you can continue to believe the message I told you. And Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. So we have the readiness that comes from the gospel. Then we have, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And here in Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Take the helmet of salvation, Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, Jesus. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory in the one and only Son, who is Jesus. We see, if we really want to take battle against the enemy, we want to take battle against our culture, we want to take battle against everything that stands against God, who do we need?
Jesus.
We need Jesus. So where do we go with all this? Where do we go? We have, in fact, real heroes live real redemption. They don't, that's what we need to do. We want to be a hero, we need to live redemption. We need to live in that redemption offered through Jesus Christ. And the fact that what Jesus Christ did allowed the Holy Spirit to come and empower us with the dunamis power. What are our next steps with this? Next steps. I just want to say, maybe you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus. Maybe you've fallen away in one way or another, and you just say, yeah, I need to recommit my life. I need that redemption. Maybe you're trying to do things under your own power, and you need to repent of that. God may have gifted you greatly with something, but you've just gone on cruise control, and you're still doing those things that God gifted you with, but you're not asking God to help you. Maybe you need to repent of that. Maybe you need to be a superhero, or maybe you need a superhero in your life right now. That might be Jesus. Could be someone else in this room that is letting God use them in a mighty power or a dunamis way. Lastly, maybe you're supposed to be a superhero to those around you. And you need the Holy Spirit to empower you with mighty power that is just stored up, waiting to be used. If any of those apply, I just want to invite you, come forward. We can pray for you. You can spend your own time. You could sit there on your own. You could ask someone next to you to pray with you. Whatever it is that you feel the Lord's leading you to do, I'll be up here. If you want someone to come to you, you can raise your hand. We'll have someone come pray with you. But if any of those apply to you, I just challenge you to press in. Seek God and seek help from others.